Hey guys.
Hey.
Bear with us here. I'm definitely not a musician, guys. This is no, I got it. No, it's yeah. Hey. Sorry. Y'all doing good?
Yeah.
I don't know, it sounded like Chris, you were preparing them for me to be really intense. And pray for joy. So that I don't steal it out of the room. The gospel is such a privilege. I mean, it's, man, let's get a million miles away from, like, God's looking down on us and we're running the risk of failing every day, etc. We're privileged to become. Why are you yet a sinner? He sent his son. Like, he loves us. He has a higher vision for our lives because he's known us from the beginning because we're his intention and plan. We came from him. He knows why we're here. We got to get a hold of that. Living our life in Christ, like Chris said something so funny, he said, is that even possible? And you share some of this stuff, and it's a lot of people feel that way. They're like, man, you can't live that way. And the only reason we feel that way is because we've only been taught by something else our whole life. We haven't been taught by him. We've been taught by the way that seemeth right to a man. So we take our own experiences, we say, yeah, but everybody this, and who's like, well, you can't tell me. But if you look at Jesus, you see these things in him. And the same Jesus said, follow me. And he said, if you believe, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. We always think he's talking about miracles. What if he's talking about motive and purpose, expression, perspective, mentality? See, you don't see Jesus falling out and freaking out. He said about a long day. You guys relate. Well, you don't know how much I got on my plate. And it's been a long day. And I just need my space. And you need to, oh, the last thing I need is you whining right now, kid. We think that's crazy normal. Like, can you picture Jesus doing that? Could you picture Jesus in the morning going, I just don't know if I can handle it, man. I got people following me every day. They're so stinking selfish. I heal people and they're trying to find out what's wrong with me. They don't even appreciate me, guys. I'm not even sure why I'm doing this. You're backplating. God lets me hear the thoughts on. Cool. I'm not sure I want to face anybody today. I think I'm going fishing, dude. You don't see one thing in the life of Jesus. Like, at the end of the road for Jesus, you say, well, yeah, but he was supposed to die, he was meant to die, da, da, da. But come on, he was treated horribly wrong. His own disciples sat there at the Last Supper and all said they'll die for him, and he knew not one of them was gonna, and they all said they would. And when they did, he wasn't shocked, hurt, surprised. When he rose from the dead, he said to Mary, he didn't say, go tell my lowlife, backstabbing bunch of he poured his life into them. He gave himself to them. And at the end, they ran from him. He didn't change his mind about them. He said, you go tell my brethren. It's covenant term. Family. What's he trying to say? I haven't changed my mind about them. They haven't done one thing right, but I know their potential. I know their purpose. They're here because of me. Life comes through me. There's a time to be born. I handpicked them out of the crowd. You go tell my boys I'm coming. He didn't walk in the room and say, bunch of chickens. Where were you when I needed you most? You know, I looked around. You guys got out of there pretty quick. I remember sitting there eating. You all said, I'll die for him. And I told you, you were all going to scatter. Ain't I usually right? He didn't come down on them. He walked in and said, peace be unto you. Oh. And then he said, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Up until then, they still didn't get one thing right. You love them. And he sees them from the beginning. He doesn't see them for betrayal. He doesn't see them for fear. He doesn't see them for failure. He sees them through love. And the goodness of God is bringing out the best in them. It's so powerful. Let's not miss this thing. We're so used to beat down and condemnation and getting what we deserve and not getting what we deserve and freaking out. And the only time we get noticed sometimes is when we do something wrong because we're expected to do right. And we get so jaded and so dull along the way. And all of a sudden, the way that seemeth right is our highest vision and wisdom. And the way everybody is the way it is. We're going to find out one day, if that doesn't change, that that was never true. That the kingdom of God was here the whole time. That you had a different option. That you could possess a different mentality. That you could shift out your motives and your reason for being and your perspective and the will in your life. And you could exchange your purpose for truth. And we're going to find that the just live by faith and that the believer inherits these things and walks them out. And one day we're going to find what we really believe. Did we just sing to him or did we follow him? Did we just serve in a ministry or did we follow him? Did we just minister to the homeless or did we follow him? Did we just feed the hungry or did we follow him? And did we let the things we do in his name take the place of knowing him and manifesting his name? You guys good?
Yeah.
Come on, what an honor. That God Almighty would come in the flesh. He must think a lot of our potential. I make sure I tell people that all the time because no preacher ever told me that. I just didn't know Chris. But no preacher ever told me that. No preacher ever told me that Jesus died to restore my potential. They told me he died because I was a mess. He had to die because I was a mess. But he didn't die because I was a mess. He died to restore a truth in my life.
Yes.
He died to put his spirit back inside of me. He paid a price to get me back on track. And he came and said, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I haven't changed my mind about you. You have the same potential and the same purpose and the same destiny. No matter what your dad did as an alcoholic, no matter what happened to you when you were around 4, no matter what happened with your mama, no matter what happened through your life, nothing about why you're here has changed in me. Get your eyes off of that. Come out of darkness into the light and let your light so shine before you. Now, you can feel sorry for yourself. You can throw a pity party. You can make your story matter more. You can draw sympathy from men and try to get people to hear your story and buy in and draw affection and attention from men and stay a product of your life. Or you can come out of the old into the new and be a product of his life. This is what Christianity is all about. And I'm telling you, there's mentalities in the church. There's mindsets in the church that we've embraced as normal because we were trained by them. But you cannot find them in the kingdom of God. You can't find self-centered seeking. You can't find feeling sorry for yourself. You can't find self-consciousness. You can't find the hurt and sorrow and brokenness without an answer and without mending in the kingdom. He heals the brokenhearted. That means it's healed. Not so it can keep getting broken again and again. There is this perspective in your life that you can embrace where your heart is untouchable anymore because you've grown up in a truth and the truth has made you free. And the why behind your life is different. And you don't wake up to be loved by men. You wake up to be more like him. You don't need things from people because you're fulfilled in him. And now you become a blessing to people. You see yourself through him and now you see others the same way. I'm telling you, there's a truth on the earth. It's called the kingdom of God, and he wants it to live in us and live through us. It's not about church attendance, praying a prayer to go to heaven. It's about manifesting heaven and walking in love and making peace. Because blessed are the peacemakers, for the peacemakers are the sons of God. Not those who say they're the sons, not those who have issues, not those who are argumentative, not those who are tit for tat, and he said, she said, and I wouldn't if they didn't. Well, that hurt. Well, how come? Well, no. Blessed are the peacemakers. You wonder why you have no peace? No peace? Are you pursuing peace? See, if you're at odds with people, if you need to be right, if you're bothered by everything, if you're nitpicky and fault-finding, you'll never have peace. You're not living as a son. You have to pursue peace. You have to pursue peace with God through the blood of Jesus. Pursue peace with men. You wake up in the morning and you live like Jesus lived, man. You wake up to lay down your life to love and manifest the name of God and glorify his name and love the world around you. That's what Jesus did. Listen, guys, nothing less has ever been Christianity.
Amen.
We have made Christianity something totally different. We've made it, my cake, eat it too, bless me, fill my vats and barns, protect me, keep my family, give me a promotion, man, help the car run. We've made it all about Him serving us. That's why Christians are mad at God. When it comes right down to it, a lot of people are discouraged and frustrated with faith, with Christianity, with church. Why? Because they don't feel like they've got what they were told they would get. And I'm not going to tell you you're getting anything but brand new life. Yes. And you're going to put off the old, and you're going to put on the new. And you're going to die to yourself, and you're going to live to the glory of His name. And if that's not why you're in this thing, you will never walk in the freedom that He paid for, and you will never walk in the glory of who you're really created to be. And you will let little things hurt you. You will let minute things own you. And you will let 20 years slip by because of a memory. And your heart will be mad, angry, judgmental, up and down. And it's just the truth. And it's not mean. It's just the truth. Amen. Sorry, I'm so... It just feels that way. Come on, this is a big deal. It freaks me out. The gospel still freaks me out. I'm saved 25 years and I can't calm down. That God, the God of the universe, that nothing is that isn't through Him, that He always was. How do you teach that? There's no beginning. He just always was. You look at the word beginning in the Hebrew and it's just a word that means to go back and back and back till there is no beginning. What's that mean? He always was. He is. And He is to come. That means He always will be. He's a rock. He never changes. There's no turning, shifting, or shadow. He's incredible. When you define Him, it's like, you take all the names of God. You can define Him, and it's a mind-boggling, mind-blowing, can't-comprehend thing. And yet, that being that I'm talking about is love. That's a freak out. He's got all power. There's no match. Jesus says to Pilate, listen, if this thing was in my kingdom, if this war was in my kingdom, there'd be legions here already. This thing's a wrap, okay? Jesus is a bad dude. Like, beyond any movie, video, invincible thing, Jesus is, God breathes into a pile of dirt with vision, and the dirt turns into a man. We say we believe that. That's incredible. And a man stood to his feet. We say we believe that. And we respond in different ways in many different... Come on. God breathed into dirt and a man stood up. That's a pretty incredible God. And here's what really freaks me out about Him. He's love. Wonder if He wasn't love. Wonder if He was like we think is normal. Then there'd be cliques and yes men. And there'd be so much behind the scenes wretched stuff going on to be in and not out. There'd be so much stuff going on if He wasn't love. Wonder if He had favoritism. Wonder if He picked and choosed. Wonder if He wasn't a God that was impartial. It says, don't be deceived. He's not partial. He's impartial. Every man will get what he's lived in the end. You will reap what you sowed. Let no one be deceived. It says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. And if he sows into the flesh, of the flesh, not of the will of God, not of the working of His Spirit, not of the choice of heaven, of the flesh, he'll reap corruption. Means it's his choice. I set before you life. I set before you death. And listen to the heart of God. Would you choose life that you might live? So here he is. He's almighty, all-powerful God, breathing the dirt, and a man's jumping up. He's saying light, and light comes. He's just boom, boom, and earth and galaxies and stuff they still can't figure out just went boom. That's God. And yet he's love. So he makes man with intention. He makes man with purpose. He makes man for his image.
I'll tell you right now, this gospel is so simple that it's so simple that it makes people frustrated, especially heady folks. Makes them frustrated. It's so simple. Here's the simplicity of the gospel. Man was made for a purpose. That purpose was lost through sin. Jesus took away sin to restore the purpose. Unfortunately, we don't teach that. We teach a beneficial gospel. We preach a self-serving gospel. We preach a gospel that benefits me without transforming me. It blesses me and keeps my same attitudes. It blesses me and keeps my same emotional makeup. And some people get so deceived. They say, well, God gave us emotions. Stop. He did not give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you them. You were born into the fall of man. By sheer instinct, sin was your master. You were formed in iniquity in your mother's womb. When you were born again, it was a lie. It was not what you were ever intended to be. You were born into Adam. All your emotions flowed out of a self-centered wellspring. Selfishness ruled you. You were angry without trying. Nobody had to teach you to be angry. You were jealous. Nobody had to teach you. You were very, very tiny, and you were aware that somebody was getting more attention than you, and you were trying to push in front of them. God did not make that. He did not give you the emotions you grew up with. They're perverse. They're self-centered. They're reactionary. They're sensually driven. That's why you have to put off the old and put on the new. You're not conformed to the world. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. This gospel is so simple. It's getting a whole different reason for being and letting the cross teach you why you're really here and not pursuing vain things. Are you with me? And the gospel teaches you purpose, shows you what he paid for, and all of a sudden you become what he paid for, and now you know who you are and why you are through him. If you try to find that any other way, you'll be misled. And if you don't make the gospel about that, you'll be a Christian for your sake instead of his great name. And I'm telling you straight because I care. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're already in trouble. You're self-conscious, you're looking at circumstances, you're knocking on wood, you're praying for smooth seas, you're wondering what's going to go wrong next and will God intervene, and you're living in fear, and you're anxious. Why? Because you're still self-conscious, and the biggest lie in your life is still alive. You have to deny yourself and learn what that means and wake up every day for his great name. And if that becomes real in our heart, people, we will treat our children different. We will look at everyone different. If my life is all about the glory of his great name, I will take responsibility. I will be in prayer and I will yield to Holy Spirit so that I rightly represent my Father who I love and adore and not just live for blessing, but live for his great name. Are you with me? Come on. This is not too hard to bear. He wants to snatch us out of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That is not just you getting cuddled, rocked, and pampered and loved by God. That is you becoming the love of God and him multiplying himself on the earth. It's called the body of Christ. Come on, this is so wrapped in scripture, you can't escape. You can't yell but this. I can feel it. It's too straight. It's just coming straight out of the Spirit of God in me. I can hear it. It's not confusing. You're not going, huh? Straight. You say, well, you're a little passionate. So? Jesus is a little passionate. Here's my point. For God to put himself... Did all the young ladies left? Is there a girl in here around 15? Can you stand up for me, honey? Just stand up real quick and we'll all smile and clap. Yay. Okay, 15. Theologians think that Mary was around her age, right there. This little girl right here. You can sit down. Thank you. Now think about that. Jesus, he's God. He was. He always was with the Father and he was from the beginning. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Jesus. Today, the Bible says he's the name above every name. That Everybody, heaven, earth, under the earth, is going to bow to him, whether they want to or not. He's so amazing, they will fall to their knees. Not because he goes, bzz, oh. They will go, oh, because they'll see. It says, every tongue will declare and confess, he is Lord. That Jesus said, Holy Spirit, I made an agreement with the Father. Would you take me and put me in that little girl? God was placed in the womb of a human being. Come on, don't let this be some Christmas story, baby in a manger. Oh. This is God coming in the flesh to pay a price for flesh. He must think a lot of what he's buying. Why didn't anybody tell me that? Why is that always thought of heresy? Why do we think we got to talk ourselves as trash to glorify his name? He doesn't want you to do that. He said, come up hither. I'm going to sit you in heavenly places. There's a spirit of adoption crying out, calling you into sonship, and sons you are. Amen. At what point do we have the grace and ability and confidence to put off the old and say, you know what? I did that. I went there. I said that. But I want change. And that ain't who I want to be. And God, thank you for washing me clean and putting a new thing in me. And I ain't looking back because I ain't Lot's wife. I'm your bride. I'm looking up from whence comes my help. And I'm coming after you. And I'm done letting tit for tat and he said, she said, eat my lunch. Stress and strife and frustration, no way. I'm passionate about you. I'm passionate about righteousness. But I'm called to love you and love people, and that's where we're beginning. I'm all in, God. Amen. See, nobody ever preached the gospel that way to me. Holy Spirit did. The only thing I ever heard was, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. So you raise your hand, you pray the prayer, and you're still mad at your wife, and you argue on the way home, maybe. And you think it's normal or justified because you don't know who I got to live with. That's what we say. You can listen to the preacher, and you say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, bud. You don't know what I'm married to. You don't know what I have to deal with. Wonder if God looked at your life and said that, you'd be so hopeless, it would be pitiful. You're telling me you've walked perfect, you've done everything he's created you for? You're telling me you've walked out his will and you haven't crossed the line? I wonder if God looked at you in disgust one day. Said, you know what, you've had so many chances I can't even count, and I'm God, so that's scary. And I've changed my mind about you. If you didn't change by now, you ain't changing. I'm turning my face from you and I'm giving up on you. And you've already proved to me who you are and who you want to be. You've made your bed, pal. You gonna sleep in it. God can't even think that way because he's love. And it's the only way we've known to think because we've been in the fall. And we've been learned and trained and tutored by a wisdom that's called the world. And it's self-centered to the core. And it has to do with man's rights. And it has to do with cutting off others for the sake of. And it's never been heaven. Please don't bring it in to something new. I've pastored for a little while. I've been involved with a few situations. I've talked to a handful of folks along the way. And the number one thing that stumbles us, bringing old ways into something new. Trying to pour new wine into an old skin. No wonder the cup always seems and feels empty. People make me laugh. There's some cliches out there. I pour out my heart all weekend. Who was here yesterday? 10:27. I really looked wore out, didn't I? By 6 o'clock, I was dragging, wasn't I? I had to preach short so I can go sit down. Huh? People just make me laugh. They say, can I just pray for you? You've poured out so much. Lord, would you just fill him? He has poured out. Stop praying that stuff for me. I'm in trouble right now. Can you tell? I don't even know what to do with what's in me. I am not a cup going dry. You're not drinking out of my cup.
Hallelujah.
You're playing in my saucer at best. I am not draining. You're not wearing. I'm not burdened. People say thank you. I understand. It's not wrong. But you don't owe me a thing. I'm not sacrificing right now. I'm crying out my love. I'm crying out love for him and love for you. It's the only reason I'm on a plane. I don't have a financial contract with these folks. I didn't send them a thing and a list of the stuff I need. Everywhere I go, I say, you don't even have to take an offering. I'm not coming for an honorarium. I'm coming because I believe what I'm preaching and I want to impart it if you'll let me. And they say, well, that's why we're asking you to come. Well, then let's just forget about some of this stuff. And let's just, yeah. It's a shame what it can become. And some people want, and I'm not against giving and finances and blessing, and people want to get, I get all that. You don't have to preach stuff to me like that. I get it. But we got to make sure this isn't a business. We got to make sure it's not about what's in it for me. Jesus, I had the little girl stand up. She's a very young girl. Jesus handpicked a little girl out like that, a young girl, and said, I'm going to sit in her for 9 months. Just like every man has sat in a mother. And I'm going to crock pot there and form there and grow there. Till the buzzer goes off. The Lord of the universe sat in a fetal position for 9 months in the womb of a woman. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think we're moving too fast. I think we're too busy. Bless me, Lord. Well, now, why did he let it rain on the picnic day? Come on, I've been around us. I'm not mad at us, but I am crying out. Sometimes your joy is hinged on a forecast. I don't think we understand how detrimental self-centeredness has been to our lives. And I'm sorry that any preacher ever preached and only preached a beneficial message instead of a transforming message. The last thing we need is selfish Christians, because there's no such thing. There's the last thing we need is discouraged people that go to church. It's unscriptural. Come on. Oh, I feel that. That's okay. I'll press right back into it. I got too much scripture. I'm so confident right now. I've read the book. I've watched his life. Whoa. He got your attention. Don't turn me off. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him. I love her shirt, by the way. I love these young kids. Do you know what her shirt says? It says, hi, I'm awesome. Yes. Do you know why Jesus sat curled up for 9 months in a woman? Because he knows that. Because he already knows that. Do you know how many people don't know that and believe that, and life is eating their lunch, and he's saying, it ain't true. It ain't true. I know better of you. I realize you made mistakes. I realize you did this and that and the other. But I'm willing to forgive and wash it and put me in you. And I know what you'll look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered. You're awesome. And I'll die for you and shed my blood for you. And don't say I shouldn't have. Yes, I should, because I know who you are. See, nobody taught me the gospel that way. They just made me a filthy sinner that's going to sin yet today. And I ought to be glad he came and forgives me and wants to take me to his heaven. And I couldn't relate. And I get tired of that message. And I'm condemned. And I feel dirty. And I don't go to church by the time I'm 18. Because mom can't make me. Anybody know that story? You see why I'm aggressive? Your shirt really blessed me. Today. See, I pay attention, don't I? You just slipped by me and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh. Awesome. That's why Jesus sat curled up there for 9 months. Because he believes that about every person. Be honest. How many people have struggled in their life? Young, middle age, older age. Little insecurity, self-consciousness. Didn't feel valuable. Didn't feel like you measured up. Pressured in a crowd. Trying to fit in. Who knows that feeling at some point in your life? Watch this, watch this. I got such amazing news for you. But you got to believe. You got to believe the news. You got to be a believer. If you're not a believer, everything follows a believer. It's those who believe what? Everything I'm telling you, the gospel, why he came. Watch. Same price tag on every head. Blood of Jesus. Same price tag. It cost him the same for every person. Because of sin. It didn't cost him more to redeem a rapist than a liar. Because it's all less than him. So guess what? If you go into Walmart, you got barcodes, price codes. They got them little machines. They're scrolling. They're trying to track down a price. Why? You have prices. You have how many prices in Walmart? You have shelves full of product. You got things of all different value. They don't all have the same price tag because everything on the shelves isn't worth the same. Guess what price tag's on every head? Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. But why? Because every life has the same exact value. What's that? Walking in God's image and walking in God's love. God paid a price for you. To become love. God paid a price for you to wake up to shine. It costs the same to pay for everyone to shine. Everyone shining is worth the same. A pastor is not worth more than somebody serving in a ministry. A worship leader is not worth more than the person cleaning the bathroom. Amen. We shine. Our titles, our gifting, our grace doesn't decide our value. The fact that you can let your light so shine within your sphere of influence determines your value. The unity of faith isn't us believing all the same things about every interpretation of every scripture. The unity of faith is everybody waking up for the same reason to shine. Now I'm going to be strong. Can I be strong? I haven't been quite strong yet, I don't think. No, this feels strong. The only reason, if my Bible's correct, which I believe it is, let us make man in our image. The only reason man is on the earth is to be found in God's image. If you're not a Christian to pursue his image and let your light so shine, you're missing why you're a Christian. You have some other reason that won't find grace and you'll be frustrated. The only reason mercy woke you up this morning is not so the day goes the way you've been praying. Mercy woke you up to give you one more day to look like him. And in the midst of that, take a friend fishing. Go ahead and go golfing. It doesn't matter. Go bowling. And just look like him when you go. Go to work and stop complaining. And be excited to be alive. Don't make it about you ever again. Make it about his great name. See, I didn't finish Hebrews 12:3, but it says, consider him. Consider who? Why him? Because we're not following each other. We're following him. People have said to me, brother, I don't know, man. You preach some of this stuff. It just seems, but I mean, everybody, whoa, stop. There's where you're messing up. You're following everybody right now. But what you're telling me you can't find in Jesus. I thought you said you're following him. Why are you tricked into following our experience and letting our experience deny his grace that makes you different? See, you ain't getting out of this. I read the book, man. It burns in me. Yeah. Do you hear scripture just coming? Do you hear everything getting tied up? How are you going to yell, but? Here's what I've asked Jesus a long time ago. If you're going to stand me in front of people, and you're going to entrust me with that honor. And you're going to let a man like Chris hand me a mic in front of his house. Then I got to say what you would say if you were standing there. The one thing I'm asking you about that is, when I'm finished, please God, when I'm finished, let a man only have two options. You say, two? Why not one? Two. Let him have two options, God. Guess what those two options are? That when I'm done speaking, they go, man, I hear what he's saying, and I want that. Or they say, man, I hear what he's saying. I just don't want it. But please, God, when I'm done, don't let anybody sincerely go, what's he saying? I don't think anybody's sitting here going, what's he saying? A message like this locates your want to. It locates your willingness. It actually defines where you're at in your life with him. And if all we've ever been taught is a message that benefits us, maybe we need shaking into a higher truth. Hebrews 12:3, consider him. Watch. Consider him. Who are we considering? Who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, lest you be weary and discouraged in your soul. What's he saying in that scripture? That discouragement is self-centered and unscriptural, and you can live apart from it for the rest of your life. Most preachers won't agree with that because they have levels of discouragement. Within their church, with their people, they won't serve. Why is the giving low? And it's all about ministry instead of manifesting him. It's all about making it instead of shining. And honestly, it's too easy in America to be a Christian to survive and make heaven. Instead of a Christian to walk in the light as he's in the light and have fellowship one with another. Are you with me? Come on, it's just too scriptural. Yay. Let's get back to something. So we got Jesus still in a fetal position. We got to get him out of there. He's 9 months in, man. That's a long time to hang out in that woman's little crock pot there. He's just cooking for 9 months. He's about ready to be served up. But think about it. Doesn't stop there. He comes through her birth canal. He's totally helpless and totally dependent on her. He's sucking on her breasts. He's nursing. He ain't got Pampers with sticky tape. Come on, mamas. You know, even them Pampers with sticky tape can be messy sometimes. You get that blowout. You're passing your little baby around and somebody goes, whoa, mama. Thing all down the leg, brown patch on the pants. It ain't swaddling clothes. It ain't rags pieced together. Jesus pooping in his diapers. Passing gas. Little pain. Mom, I don't know. Just push, honey. Oh, yeah. I'm just having fun with you. Jesus became a man. That's humbling. He was from the beginning. He's the Word. He was with God and was God. And now he's a man. Why? Because he so values the purpose of man and what he made man to be. And if we turn that into benefit and blessing, genie in a bottle, and make my day, we are sorrily, horribly mistaken. It's about the redemption of life and purpose. It's about the restoration of destiny. It's about you and me getting back on track and stepping into why we're here. I've seen countless Christians say how tough life is. Well, you know, we just got to wait it out, man. One day the bell will ring. Wow. Do you know how many Christians are in groups or circles out there that are pray, come, Lord, come back right now. Like, why not now? It's so dark. They watch the news and go, where have you been? Why aren't you here? It's darker. It feels like prophecy's fulfilled, man. He's not here because people aren't ready. He's prolonging. He's hoping that more repent. Amen. And the church is praying for an escape. Amen. Hey, all my kids are saved. Everybody's prayed the prayer. I know I'm only 60, but hey, I want to go. I'm tired of life. People are hard to take, man. I'm ready. I'm out of here, dude. And you're praying, Jesus, come and get us out of this hellhole. Christians are praying to go, to get out of here. To be with you is better, Lord. Well, to have his heart is way better. You might be amazed the people that are praying to go aren't ready to go. I don't mean they're not born again or saved in the sense of qualified to go. What I'm saying is they don't have no fruit. They don't have legacy because they're tail whipped. Mad at people. They're praying to go because they can't make peace. They got 4 cats and 3 dogs because they're angry at people. Oh, it's true. And treat them like gods. I know people love pets and there's a true love of pets, but a lot of people have a lot of pets because they don't like people. And they'll tell you, I have them because I don't like people. They're unconditional. People hurt me and make me angry. I love them. I don't like people. You are a million miles away from God. And you attend church. There's the greatest warning sign in your life that you don't know Jesus. You just hang around him when you don't like people. If people bother you, warning, alarm. You don't watch the news and go, ooh, that just makes me so mad. Why? I can't believe he, ooh, see, that just, well, he'll get his someday. Well, you're getting yours now. You should cry for a person. You should weep. You should run to your bedroom and say, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. God, he's made eternal and he's lost. And that's so tragic that he has the capacity to do that, God. It makes me concerned that he even knows what he's doing, how lost he might be. Would you have mercy on his soul and redeem him, God? Well, why is that hard? Why is it so easy to cry because of people instead of for people? Amen. Why has it become so inward and self-centered now that we're saved? Why is it all about me and we sing it's all about him and we prove it's all about me? I'm not saying you. I'm talking big picture. There is not a whole lot of excitement and zeal and steady joy in the body of Christ. There's a lot of circumstance-driven dispositions, mentalities, and focuses. And we're praying for God to make it better, and we're only good if it works. And all of a sudden, we're only doing as good as it's going. And life is deciding who we are and how we are. Instead of the great king that hung out for 9 months in Mary, came through dependent, grew up in wisdom. I mean, he was 12, and they were like, dude. Yeah? He steps out in ministry. He gets nothing but contradiction. He gets attacked constantly by the Pharisees. He's got the people turning on him. He's got religion breathing down his neck, and he never changes. He doesn't get disheartened. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't give up. You say, well, that's because he's Jesus. That was his calling. No, it's because he's love. That's your calling. Yeah. Oh, that was good. Oh, that's just good preaching right there, Pastor. Man, that was good. Wait a minute. Amen, brother. That was good, dude. So you got to answer today. I know I'm ranting like a madman. But if God is willing to come as a man, that should get our attention. That shouldn't just be a Christmas story. That just shouldn't be a million presents. Why didn't I get what I asked for? Come on. That's what Christmas can be. Just disappointed because you didn't. Disappointed because the gift you bought your friend, they didn't like it. And you're crying. And you said you got it for them. You're crying. You got it for them. They didn't like it. Why are you crying? Because you didn't get it for them. You got it for you. You got it to feel all gushy when they doted over it. And you got disappointed, now you're crying. Why would you cry if they didn't like the gift you got them? You ought to be glad they're honest and go get them something they like. Well, I can't believe you don't like it. I thought you loved that color. Honey, I don't like that color. Oh, I just can't believe that. I wanted to bless you. No, you didn't.
Come on.
You're on a self trip.
Come on.
Get a grip. You did not buy that gift for them. You bought that gift to feel good about yourself because you don't feel that good about yourself. And when it failed, you didn't get your fix. And you cried. Yeah. You all right?
Yeah.
You see, the little baby's the only one giggling and laughing and rolling around. Innocent as pie over there, man. Just innocent as can be. I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor. I haven't experienced none of that. Little baby. Everybody else. Little baby. Wouldn't it be amazing if we live this life in such a way that that little guy grows up and that's what he sees? Instead of tension, frustration, the same old thing we're all familiar with. Wouldn't it be amazing to not just do church attendance, but actually do Jesus? Wouldn't it be amazing to not just do ministry, but actually live Him? To be in your own home when nobody's looking and cover a multitude of sin with love. And let mercy triumph over judgment. And not let where people aren't decide where you are, but let who He is already have that figured out. Never again let what people don't see become your vision, since He's the light of the world. Wouldn't it be amazing?
Yes.
To not let anything matter more than what really matters most. I'm telling you this because I'm sincere and I do care. If you're not a Christian for these reasons, this isn't some negative prophecy, it's just the raw truth. If you're not a Christian for these reasons that I'm crying out, you'll never walk in the joy the Bible's talking about. You'll never know the freedom that it's talking about. You might have periods of good and wow and nice and treasure those moments, but you'll do more of this than you'll ascend. And you'll let things trip you up, and those little foxes are going to get access to the fruit that's supposed to be on that vine. And all of a sudden you won't be as productive as you could have been if you saw clear. And you'll let things that don't matter in the end matter now and rob something then. The just shall live by. Come on. If He called us to it, we can live it. If He said, follow me, it's possible. And every once in a while, you got a good pastor here. You got good teaching here. I know that. Love his heart. I've gotten to know him a little more than the last time. And I love you. I just love you. I said to Jeremiah several times, that is a good dude right there. He said, oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. I said, I love him. But every once in a while, you just need another voice out of the mouths of two or more to come and rant like a madman and go, boom. So you just don't get familiar with what you expect him to say. And just nail some things down and put a fresh conviction in your heart. So that if you're tempted to some direction, you. Whew. Yeah? So you don't ever have the capacity anymore, because it's not Jesus to just come into the house and just take your day out on your family. Could you imagine Jesus living that way, the days He had? Think how victorious it is when everybody you pray for in Capernaum is healed. Like the Bible says, all that came to Him in that city, they were healed. There was miracles. The lame were walking. I mean, that's like, you think you're like high-fiving on cloud nine, and the people are going, now I wonder what demon is working in him. He multiplies all this food, and He breaks away and crosses, and He's in this lonely, secluded place. And all of a sudden, He looks, and here comes all the crowd. They found Him. They found Him. They all got in little boats and things, and He looks up, and they're all coming. And they're like, hey, found you. He's a discerner, right? He's Jesus. He's like, He's like, you know, the only reason you went out of your way to track me down and found me is because I fed you yesterday. All you want is another meal. You're just using me for a meal. And you're not caring about what I have to say. And then he preaches on discipleship and they all walk away. They were like, man, we came all this way and didn't even get our meal. So because they didn't get their meal, they definitely didn't want to hear. And when they got their meal, it didn't help them to hear. They just wanted another meal. They get their blessing. They want another blessing. Next thing you know, you get this twisted view of your relationship with God that he's here to just meet all the things you think are needs. I heard a very wise preacher a long time ago. I won't mention his name. I just started out ministering. I was fresh. I was pastoring 2 years in. And he said, if you want to run Holy Spirit out of a meeting, the best way to do that is say, hey, I'm glad we're all here tonight and God's here to meet every one of your needs. He said, that is not why God's here. Because a lot of the things people need are wants because they're dictating their disposition and they've rolled over into idolatry. Holy Spirit is not here to meet everything you think you need. He's here to mold you and shape you to make you more like Jesus. What did he do in Genesis? He was hovering over the waters that had no form and were chaotic. Why was he hovering? To bring shape and form and obey the word of God and carry it out. What's he doing in our lives? He's just hovering. And he wants to bring form and function to what was chaotic. God made man with a purpose. That purpose got lost through sin and man became a shadow and a form and a bare glimmer of what he was intended to be. And Holy Spirit is hovering right there, waiting to bring that thing to life. Yeah? It's really good. So, I don't need an altar call. The message is an altar call. I promise you, it's irrelevant to have an altar call right now. The altar is your heart before the Lord. And watch this. Don't be deceived about this. It's what you do with something like this decides everything about your life and for your life. You can do what Chris prayed. It was very powerful. You don't hear it much. I was appreciated it. I pay attention, I promise. He said, give me a grace to love you more, God. Some people say, man, I don't know, but I just don't feel, I'm not passionate like you, Sarah. Don't judge yourself by me. We're not following one another. We're following Jesus, right? So if you feel like you want to talk to God about those things, the sincere part of your heart is saying, man, you know, sometimes I feel like I lack momentum and intensity. I don't think I see like I could see. Would you open my eyes and let me see this gospel? Would you stir my heart and make me hungry? Man, I yield to you. If there's something you want to do in me, stir up in me, quicken in me, empower me, I am yours and I am ready to run with this thing. Just put yourself in that yielded place. That's all clay does. All clay does is yield. Like the master potter picks it up and he checks it. And if it's wet enough and ready enough, and if it's not, he'll wet it down and wrap it and put it on a shelf. It's a cool teaching if you look it up. It's really cool, potter and clay. But man, if that clay's ready and yielded, if it's just ready to yield, he'll put his thumb and pressure and he'll say, oh man, this clay is ready to go with the pressure of my creativity, my vision. Man, this clay. And then he just starts working it. All it does is just yield. And when he's all done, he just pulls that little tarp off. Ta-da. Bible says you're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Then for good works, which were predestined beforehand that you should walk in them. So good works are important, but they're after workmanship. If you're doing works to try to prove workmanship, you'll be backwards and you'll always take your own tests and mark them and you'll always fail. If you're his workmanship, the good works are the automatic response. Why is the man do the works of righteousness? The work of righteousness is very simple. It's any expression of the nature of God is a work of righteousness. Any expression of the nature of God is a work of righteousness, okay? Why do we work the works of righteousness? Because we're righteous trees. We've been made right in the sight of God. It's how we live because it's who we are. You don't try to work righteousness to prove you're righteous. You receive righteousness. It works its fruit to holiness, and your life becomes righteous because it's who you are. You with me?
Yeah.
A lot of churches have gotten that so backwards over the generations, and they're works-driven, and they're legalistic, and they're looking at people for what they're missing and doing, and they're judging outward appearance and all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's churches out there that would be horrified the way I'm just dressed here talking about the Lord. It reveals we don't know him like we could. I'm going to close. This is coming back to me for the second time, and I'm not being harsh. I'm just being obedient to what I'm convicted by, and I believe it's the Lord. If people bother you, let that be a warning signal. That's a great place to start praying. Lord, I'm not sure why that's still happening and why I'm not seeing them the way you do. But I have a hard time thinking you feel that way when you look at them, or I'm self-righteous and proud and we have a click going on. I don't think they're excluded and I'm included. I think my view of them is wrong. Would you help me see people the way you do?
Yes. Right. Amen.
If you're in a marriage, quit praying for your spouse to change. That's a warning signal. The goal is not your spouse to change. The goal is you to manifest Christ. If you wake up for your spouse to love you, you'll probably get disappointed. If you wake up to shine, you probably won't notice a thing. Oh, man. You see how white my hair is, don't you? Come on. When your heart hears these things, you can hear its truth. It's not because I'm a good preacher. It's because it's all right here. And we say we're believers. But I would say, what are we believing? Because everybody's believing something. You all good? Can I close in prayer? I just cheered you on, man. We did Hebrews 10 today. Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together in order that you might stir one another in love and good works. Yeah? Can I pray over you? Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for this leadership. I thank you for the wisdom here. I thank you for the message here. God, I'm praying this, Father, that the message become life in this house. That the message become fruitful. That the things this leadership team have been praying for and believing for, the vision they've set before you in prayer, would be the manifestation in their eyes, that they would actually see and behold the things they've believed for. That this house would evolve into everything you paid for. A house of love, a house of wisdom, a manifestation of Christ. Let our spheres of influence be so impregnated by who you are, through one another, all doing its part, bringing edification to who you are in us. I ask it in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it, Father. Amen. Amen. I'm done. Or not. I'm just stopping.